Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to LA Kings Road Talk Radio. Cahill, a.k.a. Hipcheck, and we're going to do a quick and dirty tonight as we got the Christmas holiday upon us, and not a lot to talk about tonight for the most part. Had some good physical play there, but for the most part, not a fun game tonight. And joining me to once again do a quick synopsis and get this show on the road, L.A. Kings superfan Mr. Augie Loya. Hey, Augie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. It's Saturday night. I'm here in L.A., and those folks are up in San Jose. And, oh, boy, it just was a very – well, it was a Kings-Sharks game, and it got a little chippy there. Or was that just me? What do you think, Hip?
That was actually that the getting a little chippy. That was almost the really lone notable thing of the game, really, as far as the Kings go. They certainly didn't generate any sustained offense through the game. And literally, yeah, that, you know, watching Doughty get a little bit heated and Toffoli take his first penalties of the season. Really, for my money, Augie, that was probably the most notable thing of the game, right?
Yeah, there wasn't really much there going on. I mean, it was sort of like one of these things where it just looked to me that the Kings would rather have been anywhere but in San Jose. And who can blame them? It's San Jose.
Gotcha. Well, to be fair, it could be worse. They could have been in Arizona, but who knows? Maybe people look forward to Arizona because they figure it's an easy 2 points.
That could be. Although lately that team's been on a tear. It's no longer a gimme there at home for folks visiting the good Gila Arena.
Well, we will talk a little bit about the Coyotes. Once again, we're just going to do a super quick show tonight. We're not going to take too long here, just given the lack of real notable things to talk about and the Christmas holiday. One thing that I did want to talk about, too, was that was really the Kings just never really had any second or third scoring. It was they said it best, it was really a one-and-done. Martin Jones stopped the shots he had to, and every time there was a little bit of a thing where the Kings looked like they might have been able to capitalize, unfortunately, there was that one that went right to shore, and just the other couple times there was a scramble. It just was not to be, and there was probably, what, Augie, did you think maybe out of really when it came to bona fide dangerous chances for the Kings to score. I mean, there was probably only about three or four for the whole game. Would you think that'd be a safe estimate?
Yeah, I'd say that's a safe estimate, right. There, probably the most glaring one was there was an instance where there was a scramble in front and Jones was nowhere to be found near the net. And there were one or two San Jose players standing there in the crease. And as a matter of fact, one of them did save a goal from going in. But that was really the closest thing to a sniff that the Kings got to the back of the net all night. They just couldn't really, as you put it, I mean, there was really no second or third chances against Martin Jones there. It was a very it was a very sort of like, okay, hey, let's go play this game and get back to our families and celebrate kind of thing. And if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. It just was that sort of feeling over this game. Like, it just was, to them, unimportant, inconsequential. And I mean, maybe it was. I mean, it was still a 4-point swing inside the Pacific Division, but the Kings are well in front of the Sharks right now. But I mean, every game has got some sort of importance to it, but I think it just shows in the fact that this was the first time in the season that the Kings were shut out tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And making matters worse, Augie, was really that it was a kind of because of the Kings' performance tonight, almost every other team that was in the running won tonight. So Vegas won, the Ducks won, the Sharks won. So really all of the other teams kind of in the hunt picked up points tonight. And so that's really the real gloomy cloud. But, you know, Augie, I think you said it best. And you, they're professional athletes, and you expect to give 100% every game. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. This looked like a game where they came in kind of thinking, yeah, what, you know, let the chips fall where they may. Let's get Christmas on the road and get a couple days under our belt. Because, once again, apart from the little physicality, no one is ever going to compare the Kings' effort tonight with a playoff-like intensity.
Oh, so true. Couldn't have put it better myself there, Scott. There was just like I just said before. We gotta go to San Jose and play this. Hey, did you finish your Christmas shopping? Nah, I didn't finish. So we gotta make sure we got in the charter and get back to LA, man. I gotta go hit the 24-hour Walmart. So no overtime tonight, okay, boys? No overtime. We gotta get on the charter, get back to LA, and finish up this shopping for these gifts. So that's the way it's
Yep. Absolutely. And you know what, too? Let's credit the Sharks. You know, we don't like Joe Pavelski because he's, you know, the Sharks captain and whatnot. But, man, he's a gritty player. He's a competitor. Like, that's, you know, I said about it. And not to take the bloom off the rose for the Dustin Brown love that's been going around with his heroics and his 1,000th game and whatnot. But I said it back when the Kings got eliminated by the Sharks, when Pavelski was actually kind of challenging Brown to drop the gloves, and Brown skated away. And I remember at that time I was kind of thinking, you know, when the other team's captain challenges you and you drop the gloves, you know, I think that's something. I was critical of Brown. I was. And once again, he's my hero, and it's awesome, his resurgence. But at that time, I kind of thought that he should have definitely dropped the gloves. You got a playoff game against a divisional opponent, a rival, and you've got a captain that's actually smaller than you challenging you to go. I think at that point, you actually have to drop the gloves, and you saw Pavelski not shying away from Toffoli, not that Toffoli's a fighter, but I got a lot of respect for Joe Pavelski. Where do you line up on this debate, Augie?
At the time that happened with Pavelski and Brown was not a happy camper. We don't know. I mean, during the playoffs, these guys are playing with the Lord knows what kind of ailments in them. And, I mean, who knows? It could have been a combination of my body's just had enough to, you know what, it's not worth fighting. I just don't feel the emotional investment here to fight because that's one of the things. If you're going to fight, you've got to be emotionally invested, whether you're sticking up for a teammate or sticking up for yourself. If you don't have that emotional inspiration against a guy like Pavelski, who is gritty and is a grinder and has earned his spot in the NHL, remember, he was not a high draft pick whatsoever. And so this is a guy that's not afraid to scrum. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you got to kind of do the math there, and maybe just Brownie was kind of like, all right, you know what, I'm not 100%, and I'm not going to go out there and do something momentous shift here where I get my butt kicked on television in front of everybody and really make it look even worse to where people will be saying, God, if you were hurt, why in the world did you drop the gloves with them? Just skate away. So, I mean, there's that flip side of it as well, too, but only he knows why. But I see exactly what you're saying, because on the surface, a captain should definitely stick up for their boys and do what they got to do. That's why they're a captain. I mean, even Joe Thornton recently had to drop the gloves, and he's not even a captain, but he's still a leader in that locker room up in San Jose. So never question these guys' toughness and their motivations behind things. But I see exactly what you're saying there, Hip. And Pavelski getting tangled with Toffoli there was really kind of an interesting thing. It sort of brought me back to the other night where Trevor Lewis dropped the gloves. Trevor Lewis. So it's along that same vein for me, although not quite as dramatic as Trevor Lewis, because I do see Toffoli get in people's faces and stuff. I've never seen anything with Trevor Lewis until the other night, which really cracked me up. And he held his own, too, so that was cool.
Absolutely. It's kind of funny, too, because there was that point of the game where it was definitely getting chippy. And for the first time in a long time, I was thinking, all right, if things get really out of hand, like who is the Kings' top five? Like, you know, if the Kings were going to do, have a line brawl, who are they throwing out? So I'm thinking, well, Lewis, just by virtue of his fight the other night, you know, Andrioff's going to be out there. For your other winger, you're probably going to go Torrey Mitchell because he scrapped a couple times in his career. Back on G, you're definitely going to put McDermott. And then the next guy you're probably going to put out there is just Forbert because he's the low man on the totem pole. You definitely aren't going to put out Martinez or Muzzin or Doughty out there if it's going to get rough. So there you go. And the first time in a couple of seasons I had the fun with the hypothetical top five just for the sake of the line brawl thought going through my head.
Oh, I like that thought because – I think it was at about 6.5 minutes of the second period where that's where it turned into a – it looked like bowling balls out there. And Brent Burns was just out there knocking people over and taking numbers down. And that's where that's when I first noticed how physical it was getting out there, when Burns really established himself physically against the Kings. And then Forbert stood up and leveled one of their guys, which really made me happy to see that for him to answer back like that in that role, especially as a defenseman and a guy, you see somebody over there bowling your boys over, you better answer back. And Derek Forbert did that right there, showing exactly why former GM Dean Lombardi drafted Derek Forbert ahead of Vladimir Tarasenko.
There you go. Our show just wouldn't be complete without reference. Thank you so much for getting that out of the way. Hey, real quick, we got a strange call on the line here, at least a caller I've never seen before. Calling from the 859 area code. You are on the air, LA Kings Road Talk Radio with Hip Check and Augie. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name's Brad. I'm calling from Lexington.
All right, Brad. Well, thank you, man. Thanks for calling the show. What can we do for you tonight?
You can lick my cock.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Look at that. Charming.
Wow.
Charming.
I guess that's what goes on in Lexington. I guess that's a Lexington thing.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if that's the guy that Lexington wanted representing their city, huh?
I don't know. Maybe he lives on Lexington Avenue in Orange County or Lexington Avenue up in San Jose.
No, he actually did have a Kentucky. Yeah, he had a Kentucky zip code right there. I don't know. It'd be great if he was the sheriff and the mayor of the town that he was in there. Anyway, it's all right. So right back to it. It is good times here in the in the Bloggersville. Anyhow,
that's one of the hazards of live radio. It just happens that way. Live podcasting happens that way. And okay, so we move on.
I know, and now I'm gun shy because we have another call. I don't know if I want to let it go there.
Hey,
what
do you
think, Augie? Roll
like
the dice.
Forrest Gump. Hey, this is like the Forrest Gump. You never know what you're gonna get. Our callers are like a box of chocolates.
All right, let's roll the dice with one more. See what happens.
See what happens.
Calling from 818. You're on the air, LA Kings Road Talk Radio. What can we do for you?
Hey, what's up? It's Theo calling from the game, just driving home. Just wanted to call in and say what's up to everyone.
Theo,
yeah,
Marine,
thanks,
how
Theo,
are
appreciate
you, buddy?
It, man.
How are you guys?
Doing okay. I'm just,
what a crappy game. And honestly, these Sharks fans are crying over Doughty, like, booing him every time he touches the puck. Like, come on. It's starting to
feel
like
what was the Yeah, what was the vibe like over there with when Doughty would go in and get the puck
whenever
and stuff?
Whenever Doughty
would
touch the puck, they would start bullying like they do in Calgary.
Huh. Okay. I guess they're upset about that whole Norris Trophy thing still, huh?
No, it had to do with that slash on. I didn't see because I was so high up. I didn't see who it was.
So somebody's name who I don't even remember. I think I saw him on Barracuda recently.
Not important. It's not a king, so it didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I know the player.
It is
once in a while, though.
Every once in a while, Theo, though, being a Kings fan's not easy. There's been a handful of road games that I've gone to watch the Kings where they just laid a complete egg and traveled some distance as well. So all part of being a Kings fan is, you know, going to that road game to see them just suck.
It is what it is, you know. You know, not much we can do, but just move on to the next one.
Indeed, they can take a
little break, forget about it, come back home, spend time with the family, and they got a pretty good break right now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, their next game isn't until next week sometime, and I'll go ahead and I'll pull that up here in just a bit, but
that's
think their next game is
against
Vancouver.
No, that's right. Vegas. It's Vegas on the 28th
okay.
at Staples. That is going to be a very big game. It's the first time that the Golden Knights are visiting the Staples Center, the Frozen Dojo, during the regular season. And with these two flip-flopping back and forth in first and second place in the Pacific Division, this is the game where the playoff atmosphere will be there. And this is the game where the boys better show up and put their work helmets on, put their buckets on, and get ready to lay some wood down to the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Indeed. And you know, Augie, you make a great point there. I mean, it's maybe a little early in the season to say it's a must-win game or whatnot, but you're right. If you know, a win there kind of still leverages and puts the Kings in position to be atop of the Pacific, a loss is going to maybe widen that gap even further, mainly because both the Knights and San Jose both have three games in hand over the Kings right now. So it would be a bad situation in that case for the Kings not only to be behind on the standings, but if it played more games too, it's going to make that task just that more difficult. Speaking of the Knights there, they did beat the Capitals 3-0. Carlson, Lindbergh, Tuch all with the goals, Fleury with the shutout. And, no, that's without a doubt. Yeah, it's strange to be talking about it now, but that so far, that's without a doubt the biggest game of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
We already played three times. This will be the third game. Are you sure?
This will be the second game.
Yeah, this is the second time we play Vegas.
Okay. I was like, I don't remember if I was playing them before. I was like, I remember that one where Quick just crapped the bed on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Quick at the Vegas, right, Augie?
That's right, Vegas Blues. As a matter of fact, speaking of the goalie situation, there was a real bizarre incident that happened before the game. All of a sudden, there was buzz that Jack Campbell was an emergency call-up from Ontario and had to scramble to get to San Jose. I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Augie. Say that again, buddy.
Yeah. There was Jack Campbell was removed, and because the rain had a 3 o'clock game this afternoon here in Ontario, and he became an emergency call up to the Kings. They put Kyle Clifford on injured reserve in order to make room for him. So I don't know what was going on in the background there. The only thing that I could even think of in a situation and when something like that happens is. Somebody's wife pregnant. Kemper's got a girlfriend. I saw her recently down the chairman's lawn. She definitely wasn't pregnant. Quick, I don't know if he's expecting anybody. And so I don't know if there was like some family emergency that was pending that one of the guys may have had to go. But apparently they needed to have an emergency goalie there just in case. But I don't know what the situation was in the background. It'll be interesting to hear what it was just for general curiosity's sake as to why Campbell – with an emergency call-up. And he did not suit up. Kepler was on the bench. And it just would be, I'd kind of like to know. Inquiry minds want to know.
Yeah, yeah. We'll probably have something from John Rosen tomorrow that'll give us a little bit more insight into that. And, yeah, that was definitely definitely something that caught everybody by surprise for sure. Hey, Theo, any parting thoughts before we bid you a fond adieu?
I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Oh, thanks, Theo.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep, thanks so much, Theo.
All right.
All right, buddy. Have a great night. Merry Christmas to you and your family as well.
All right, bye-bye.
All right.
Bye, Theo.
And let's go ahead. Go. How much more time you got left, Augie, before you got to get back to your festivities?
I just go here before people start putting out a missing persons report on me. So
not a problem at all. Well, let's go ahead and hit Jerry real quick. Hey, Jerry, we're going to make this just a super quick show just by virtue of it wasn't a very exciting game and it's Christmas, but we wanted to bring you on. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Oh, Merry Christmas, guys. I did see a thing from John Rosen earlier today where he said Kemper was not feeling well, and that was why Campbell was called up.
Okay. Easy enough.
I think that's on his Twitter feed, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, cool. Well, yeah, like I say, we're just doing a super quick show tonight because it wasn't that fun a game. But, hey, Jerry, always appreciate you calling, and we'll be on. We got that Canadian road swing coming up here soon, Vancouver, Calgary.
Okay.
And we'll be here every night. So you give us a call back, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, all right?
All right, you too, guys.
All right, take care, Jerry. Later, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Jerry.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, Augie, I'll tell you what, let's wrap this up, but I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Connor McDavid took a shot to the foot, was hobbled, and had to be taken to the locker room, missed the rest of the game, and I don't know what the status is, but it did not look good.
Well, we're going to find out if he's built McDavid tough or Gavrik weak, because a shot to the foot, that would usually put Gavrik on IR, not that I wish that upon anybody, and having taken a slapper to the foot, that's not from an NHL player, that flipping hurts. Bessie, you hate to see that happen to a player like him, a generational player like Connor McDavid, but if that happens to him, the Oilers are in a world of hurt.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting to see what happens there. Other Kings news real quick that I wanted to get to is that there was three players selected to the World Juniors. Cale Clegg for Team Canada, Mikey Anderson, defenseman there, Minnesota Duluth for Team USA, and Jacob Mouvrier, who we've gotten a lot of great scouting reports on from Jeff Duarte and Ryan Cowley for Team Sweden. I'll tell you, this Cale Clegg, though, he is something special. 47 points in 28 games. He's leading.
Wow.
The next closest defenseman in scoring, Augie, has 9 left. He's got 9 more points than the next closest guy.
Wow. That's big right there. That really is. Hopefully it translates up into the upper level.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, too, I always say, you know, I would love to go back and see, of all the players that make the World Juniors for Team Canada, like, I would have to think 80 to 90% make the NHL. Would you, like, if you just had to give a guess off the top of your head of players that play for Team Canada and the World Juniors, what percentage do you think go on to be full-time NHL players?
I'd say that's a pretty safe estimate. If I were a betting man and I had to bet, I would say 75% and I'm in like Flynn. 80 to 90 is a real kind of taking into account random things, career-ending injuries, loss of interest in the game, I mean, whatever the case may be. But still, though, yeah, it's no joke when you make those teams, because those teams are very talented kids to play there.
Indeed, I would like to stretch it even further, and I don't know how you could do this. Maybe Jeff Duarte or Ryan could maybe look into this, but I would also like to see, you know, who are the number, you know, the top pairing defensemen for Team Canada over the years? You know, who are the top four? Because I'm sure if you broke it down, you know, if you're a top four D-man for Team Canada, you know, I'm sure then the rate is going to go up even further. So it's interesting to see, too. And once again, Clegg, a second-round pick, and really always fun. Always fun when you can get guys like that. You know, it kind of almost makes the World Juniors worth following just for that bonus, just to see how the Kings prospects are faring.
So true. So true. All right, my friend, I must go. I'm being looked for here.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much, Augie. Hey, you and your family have a Merry Christmas, and drive safe tonight. All right, brother?
Will do. Thank you, my friend, and Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Happy holidays. Hopefully everything's been good for everyone there, and looking forward to bringing in the new year and see what 2018 holds for us, the Los Angeles Kings, and those of us that matter. So until then, my friends. I will see you later. Thanks, Hip, for everything.
You got it, buddy. Thank you, man. All right, there we go. L.A. Kings superfan Augie Loya as we get ready to wrap up tonight's show. A couple other notable things for us Kings fans here. We have Gabe Vilardi. Gabe Vilardi is actually going to be playing December 28th. Going to be making his first appearance there in the Junior League, so mark your calendars for that. 5 days away, we'll be good to see how he fares. Also, too, the Ontario Reign losing tonight 4-3. Mike Camadio to assist Jordan Subban with his first goal as an Ontario Reign player. Hey, I did want to let you know for the guy that came in and hurled an obscenity. Anybody that wants to call him, his number is 859-429-1575. Once again, that's 859-429-1575. I think you can go ahead and use that number. Maybe put that on a bunch of telemarketing lists would be good. Probably maybe just use that as your phony number. Anytime you're registering for something that you suspect you're going to get a lot of robocalls, a lot of spam, once again, that number is 859-429-1575. Maybe you want to call a bevy of pizza places in the greater Lexington area. That number that you want to call is 859-429-1575. Add that guy to as many phone lists as you can just for being a charming bloke. All right. Well, that's it for me here. Once again, Kings losing kind of a stinker. We are going to be back once again as the Kings do their Canadian road swing. And once again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody out there. And go Kings, go. Just but one game, and we got plenty of time left in the season. And as we do here every night on LA Kings Road Talk Radio, what do? We end it with a little coked up Elvis.
Me, all right. Hey, tell me what I say. Hello. fantastic. Thank you. You're a beautiful audience, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.